In Iraq, says it has staged fresh attacks on Israeli targets and the port city of Eilat. Hello and welcome to your world news, coming to you live from our headquarters in Tehran. My name is Gisum Shahmadi. Several people have been killed in an Israeli airstrike targeting the consular section of Iran's embassy in Damascus, Syria. The attack targeted the building next to the embassy. That's also the residence of Iran's ambassador in the Mazza neighborhood in central Damascus. The ambassador and his family are not harmed. Firefighters are at the scene to contain the blaze caused by the strike. The Syrian capital has been a constant target of Israeli attacks. In the latest such atrocities, Israeli forces targeted the vicinity of the capital, Damascus, with rockets launched from the direction of the occupied Golan Heights. Correspondent Ibrahim Wahdi is joining us from Damascus with the latest on the attack on Iran's consulate building in Damascus. Ibrahim, tell us, what have you got for us?
Okay, aggression, it's an Israeli aggression that targeted the Iranian consulate next to the Iranian embassy, which is a diplomatic mission in Damascus. Vehicles are trying to take off the rubble from the building. The attack resulted in 5 martyrs, according to the Iranian ambassador. We just had a statement from the Iranian ambassador, which also had a visit from the Syrian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Dr. Faisal Maqdad. He just made a visit to the Iranian ambassador. He checked on him and he checked on the location. The Iranian ambassador said that there are 5 martyrs. 2 of them are from the police of the embassy security. 3 were employees. He was at his office when the attack happened. He was intact. He was his safety and his family. Also, there has been reports of this is an assassination attempt. According to reports, general of IRGC, Sayyid Ali Razi Zahidi, was reportedly martyred in this attack as well. This is a crowded street. It was before iftar time. The first moment we arrived to the scene, we've seen wounded, injured people inside their cars, because this is a highway, as you can see. This is a highway that crossed Damascus from east to west. Okay? It's usually crowded, one of the most crowded highways in Damascus. Civil defense and first aid teams were helping injured. They were giving first aid to injured people inside their cars. So the attack did not even affected or killed, murdered 5 employees in the building. Also, it harmed the civilians around here in the surrounding area. 2 buildings, just the next building from the other side from the embassy, the blue one. This is also a hospital, the Al-Razi Hospital. As we know also, the Israeli regime doesn't care about anything. We've seen the genocide in Gaza. We've seen what they have done to the hospitals in Gaza, like Al-Shifa Hospital, Al-Maradani Hospital. We all seen its crimes. So far, this is the all new information we have got. Some reports said that there has been a senior Palestinian leader that was assassinated. This is false information. No Palestinian leaders was here. As I said, only reportedly, there has been reports, of the martyrdom of IRGC General Sayyid Ali Razi Zahidi. Also, when we were taking a statement from the Iranian ambassador, after we asked him about the martyrs, we asked about the retaliation. He said that Iran will retaliate at the same level and the right time. This crime will not go unanswered. The Israeli regime will answer for this. That was the statement of the Iranian ambassador. He also condemned the attack, considering unhuman, barbaric, savage attack, which shows the savage nature, the barbaric nature of this criminal entity. Hope you're getting this. Hold you.
To leave you there, please try to collect as much information as you can. We'll be in touch with our correspondent, Ibrahim, yes, who is on site in Damascus, giving us the latest updates regarding this attack on a building next to the Iranian embassy in the Syrian capital, Damascus. It is almost 6 months since the Israelis launched a genocidal war on Gaza. The regime's warplanes and artillery keep pounding the besieged strip, causing more deaths and destruction in 24 hours. 4 civilians, including journalists, were killed and 16 other people injured after Israeli warplanes struck the vicinity of Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in the central Gaza city of Deir al-Bala. Several areas of Gaza City were also shelled and bombed, leaving 2 people dead and 10 others injured. Meanwhile, 4 Palestinians, including 2 children, died due to starvation in Kamal Adwan Hospital in the northern strip. A number of deaths related to famine and malnutrition has gone up to 34, including 31 children. Over 32,800 Palestinians have lost their lives and some 75,000 injured in the Israeli war on Gaza that began early October. Gaza's health ministry says Israeli forces have retreated from Al-Shifa Hospital after weeks of siege on the medical complex. The ministry says dozens of bodies were found at the medical complex after the Israeli pullout. The facility has been completely out of service since the regime burned it down. The Gaza government says more than 4,400 people that have been killed in the area since Israel began its attacks on the health facility on March 18th. Hamas says heinous crimes committed by Israel at this hospital reveal the true nature of the fascist regime. The resistance group holds the U.S. government responsible for the Israeli atrocities. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says media reports on the scale of destruction at Al-Shifa Hospital and the torture and killing of Palestinians there are appalling. Nasser Kanani called for an international investigation of the incident. And now to the occupied West Bank, where Israeli forces have shot and killed a Palestinian man over an alleged stabbing attack at a settlement near the town of Ashdod. Israeli sources say that at least 3 settlers have been seriously injured in this attack, which occurred in a shopping mall. According to reports, regime forces fatally shot the attacker, who was later identified as a man from Al-Khalil. The incident came hours after Al-Qassam Brigades, a military wing of the Hamas resistance movement, republished a message from its commander calling on Palestinians to use all of their resources to fight against the regime. Hamas later hailed the attack as a natural response to the occupation's massacres in Gaza and the West Bank. The group added that the operation also shows Palestinians' conviction towards resistance as the path to liberate Palestine. Earlier, we were joined by our correspondent in Ramallah for more details about this recent Israeli operation in Ashdod. Let's take a listen.
What happened this week about the anti-Israeli operation? Mu'min Masalmi, 19-year-old from the town of Doura in Al-Khalil, he works in that area near Ashdod. When he arrived at the shopping mall, he stabbed Israeli settlers. According to the Israeli police, they opened fire, shot him, and killed him. Later, the Israeli forces stormed the town of Doura. They raided the house of Masalmi, and they ordered family members, his father and siblings, to come to the intelligence department there in Al-Khalil. Of course, this means after interrogation, they would be arrested. Other family members had been detained. The Israelis caused severe damage inside the house. And we have to mention that this, with the killing of Masani, the number of Palestinians who had been killed by the Israeli forces since the 7th of October is over 455 Palestinians.
Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement and Israeli forces continue to exchange fire as tensions remain high over the war in Gaza. Now Israeli warplanes have launched airstrikes on two villages in southern Lebanon. The Lebanese resistance has also carried out retaliatory operations against Israeli positions in the area. We were joined by our correspondent Maram Saleh earlier for more details.
Despite the fact that we did have a lot of escalation in the last couple of weeks, today is considered somewhat of a calm day. With that said, we do have, like you mentioned, two very heavy airstrikes on the woods of Ras Hayya al-Fukhar. Ras Hayya al-Fukhar is considered to have vast amounts of forests and reserves, and so there has been directly systematic attacks by the Israelis against Lebanon's agriculture and what is left of its forests and its trees. And so we saw those two heavy airstrikes against those woods in Ras Hayya al-Fukhar, in addition to another airstrike also in the outskirts of Ait Ashab, and also the outskirts of villages usually have also amounts of green and woods and trees and so on. So that is one part of the Israeli aggression against Lebanon. Hezbollah had also later on Sunday targeted two Israeli units using artillery fire, one in Mutili, another one in Al Manara post, and of course had earlier used drone attacks against several of the areas, including one recent post in the Shabab Farms area. And now, like I said, it seems to be somewhat calm. You have a lot of talk within the Israelis and among them about the warnings that a future war with Hezbollah would not be something to be taken lightly, despite the threats from the leaders. You have a lot of experts within the Israeli regime that are calling on the leaders to postpone any war or not to basically go to a war with Hezbollah, since they are saying that any war with the resistance group in Lebanon could be detrimental to the Israeli economy.
Israel has confirmed an attack on its position by Iraqi resistance groups. In a statement, the Israeli military said a flying object struck a building in the port city of Eilat. Israeli air defenses failed to intercept it. This comes after the Islamic Resistance in Iraq said that it has hit a vital target in Israel. The resistance group added that the attack was in response to the ongoing Israeli genocide against Palestinians. The group has carried out numerous such operations against Israel in the past 6 months, but the regime has not confirmed most of those attacks. The Iraqi resistance group, however, has vowed to continue hitting Israel until the regime ends its crimes in Gaza. And Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has acknowledged his party's poor performance in Sunday's local elections, calling the outcome a turning point for Justice and Development Party, also known as the AK Party.
We will open-heartedly analyze the results of the March 31st elections within our party and make our self-criticism boldly. Although not finalized yet, the election results show us that we are experiencing a loss of ground in local administrations across the country. Of course, we will discuss the reasons for this decline we see on the local basis.
Erdogan issued the statement after early results squashed his party's hopes of winning municipality and mayoral seats in Istanbul and Ankara and some other traditional strongholds. The opposition Republican People's Party has already declared victory for Ekrem İmamoğlu, incumbent mayor of Istanbul, after 96% of ballot boxes were counted. Partial official tallies also showed that the CHP was leading in other big cities. Sunday's local elections appeared to represent a fresh blow to the president, who had set his sights on retaking control of urban areas. And now with that, we come to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
As expected, the Gaza ceasefire resolution has got the world abuzz, while the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has welcomed it by thanking the UN Security Council. The Zionist regime is deeply unhappy and distressed. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV wrote in its statement, Hamas has called for a permanent ceasefire that leads to the withdrawal of all Zionist forces from the Gaza Strip and the return of the displaced to the homes from which they left. To demonstrate its commitment to comply with the resolution, Hamas said it is willing to engage in an immediate prisoner exchange process that leads to the release of prisoners on both sides. In addition, Hamas has called on the UN Security Council to pressure the occupation to adhere to the ceasefire and stop the war of genocide and ethnic cleansing against our people. On the other hand, the war criminal Benjamin Netanyahu is fuming. His anger is reflective of the deep-seated, vengeful characteristic of the racist Zionist ideology, responsible for the mass slaughter of Palestinians in what has outraged the world since October 7th last year. The death toll in the besieged Gaza Strip now tops 32,475% of them children and women, according to the Gaza Media Office. At least 7,000 others are still trapped under the rubble. As the minutes were ticking at the UN Security Council, with member states seeing huddling in groups before the session commenced, Netanyahu issued an ultimatum to US President Joe Biden. If you fail to veto it, I will cancel the trip of my envoys to you. His threat failed this Mali. The Biden administration, which has militarily and financially supported the Israeli regime genocidal war on Gaza in the past 6 months, abstained from voting. Importantly, the U.S. vetoed Gaza ceasefire resolutions on three occasions in 3 months. By not exercising its veto power this time, the resolution sailed through with the support of all 14 states. The much-awaited resolution demands an immediate ceasefire for the holy month of Ramadan. It also calls for an immediate release of hostages without conditioning it. In other words, the resolution does not insist that for the ceasefire to kick in, Israeli regime captives have to be released as prior condition by the Gaza-based Hamas resistance group. Pertinently, the Security Council did not entertain the request submitted by the Russian representative who called for a permanent ceasefire after the holy month of Ramadan. Also, the draft did not accept the demand of the Israeli regime, the US and the UK to condemn the Hamas resistance group, which irked the Zionist regime and its Western backers, in contextualizing the legal obligations of member states to abide by UNSC resolutions. It's important to distinguish Hamas as a non-state resistance movement engaged in a freedom struggle that is not a party to the UN Charter, whereas the apartheid regime of Israel is. It means that the resolution is primarily directed at the Zionist entity by calling on it as a party to the UN Charter to comply with the ceasefire demand. Also, although the enforcement mechanism isn't clearly defined, the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, in his remarks recently, said the much-awaited resolution must be implemented and that failure would be unforgivable. Hence, Hamas is perfectly correct to insist that the UNSC pressures the occupying regime to adhere to the ceasefire resolution and stop the war of genocide and ethnic cleansing against Palestinians. At the same time, while Netanyahu has been throwing tantrums, his military affairs minister, Yoav Gallant, is currently stationed in Washington meeting U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan. The tension and policy differences between Netanyahu and Gallant have become messy and publicly known, even though the regime has been trying to cover it up to avoid further embarrassment. A crisis between the two warlords, as well as huge cracks in the U.S.-Israel alliance, is a welcome development for Palestine resistance movements, particularly Hamas. Notwithstanding the fact that the Biden administration remains fully committed to Netanyahu's criminal goals in Gaza, in his response on behalf of the Palestinian National Initiative (PNI), Secretary General Mustafa Barghouti was pretty forthright. The UN Security Council resolution for an immediate ceasefire is binding, and it dealt a blow to Netanyahu and his extremist and aggressive government, and sanctions must be imposed on it if it refuses to implement it, he stated. Adding, although the decision was unbalanced with regard to the prisoners because it did not explicitly refer to the need to release thousands of Palestinian prisoners, it stressed the necessity of removing all Israeli obstacles to the arrival of humanitarian aid to all areas of the Gaza Strip, which means the freedom for all displaced persons to return to their homes and areas where they abandoned it. Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh, on his visit to Tehran recently a day after the resolution was adopted, said it was delayed and riddled with shortcomings but still underscores the isolation of the Zionist regime. He also thanked the Islamic Republic of Iran for its steadfast support for the Palestinian cause and nation.
The Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطاهرين. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters, I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another special edition of the program The Ocean of Dua. In this special edition during the holy month of Ramadan, we will be having a look at different parts of the supplication Abu Hamza Sumali. We will be bringing you different commentaries on some parts of this dua. We'll be back after you listen to these parts.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya Mawlai, bidhikrika aasha qalbi وبمناجاتك بردت ألم الخوف عني فيا مولاي ويا مؤملي ويا منتهى سؤلي، فرق بيني وبين الذنب المانع لي من لزوم طاعتك، فإنما أسألك لقديم الرجاء فيك وعظيم الطمع منك الذي أوجبته على نفسك من الرأفة والرحمة.
Brothers and sisters, as you were previously with us, we were talking about this part of the supplication of Abu Hamza. يا مولاي بذكرك عاش قلبي وبمناجاتك بردت ألم الخوف عني. Oh my master, in your remembrance my heart takes delight, and with prayers I hold communion with you, it benumbs the pain of fear that torments me. Regarding this part of the supplication, dear brothers and sisters, we have talked about the reality of remembrance. As you may have been previously with us, we have mentioned that peace of mind lies only in the remembrance of the Almighty Allah, because it is what the Holy Quran says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. The hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance. So when we say يَا مَوْلَيْ بِذِكْرِكَ عَيْشَ قَلْبِي, this is exactly the exemplified version of that verse of the Holy Quran. This is what we mean when we say that most of the interpretations of the verses of the Holy Quran are reflected through the supplications of the infallibles. يَا مَوْلَيْ بِذِكْرِكَ عَيْشَ قَلْبِي. In your remembrance, my heart takes delight. وَبِمُنَاجَاتِكَ بَرَّتُ أَلَمَ الْخَوْفِ عَنِّي. And with your prayers, I can benumb the pains of fear that torment me. In the previous episodes, dear listeners, we have mentioned that one important feature of the heart is that it can correctly grasp the truth. We mentioned the different reasons and instances, but the other feature of the human heart is that it can become the temporary abode of anything or anyone, and it can turn into a fair which is unknown to man. If he only reflects for a few minutes and take note of whatever enters his heart, he will see that the tumult taking place in his heart is real. It exists sometimes in a short devotional act, for example, a two-cycle prayer, a two-raka'a prayer. The mind is preoccupied with many things. Man is astonished as soon as he comes to his senses. How could I ever think about this and that? My life, my car, my house, my children, my wife, anything, any challenges, any difficulties. This is not only in wakefulness, as it is also present in sleep, and in sleep it is reflected as a dream.
وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. تشكرون.
The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. So whoever cites the new moon of the month, let him fast it. And whoever is ill or on a journey, then an equal number of other days. Allah intends for you ease and does not intend for you hardship, and wants for you to complete the period and to glorify Allah for that to which He has guided you, and perhaps you will be grateful.
So this is the second feature of the heart. It will be the temporary abode of anything, of any thought. And man is surprised to see all these things come and go out of the heart. But the value of the heart lies and depends on that which enters it. As such, it sometimes falls and becomes as valueless as garbage, and at other times, it so ascends that becomes the throne of the All-Beneficent, the throne of Rahman. قلب المؤمن عرش الرحمن, one of the traditions says. The believer's heart is the throne of the All-Beneficent. Is the heart of a person who always thinks of wealth, livestock, and farm something other than garbage? Is the heart of the person who always thinks of this estate, that property, so-and-so house, trade, fraud, etc., something other than a real estate agency? If we describe the heart of a person who is preoccupied with his car and with his house and other people's stuff, are we exaggerating? Of course, we do not intend to say that the heart of man must not think about these. Of course, these blessings are meant for the human beings, for the true mu'min to make the most of. He has to use them. It is the Almighty Allah who has created the heart to be thinking about this stuff as well. But the point is, are these things eternal? The true heart must think about everything that makes him eternal. So one time, he can think about his property, his livestock, his wealth, as something that can make him eternal, and this is even the remembrance of Almighty Allah. Thinking about this stuff that are for the Almighty Allah's pleasure, and on the other hand, sometimes you think about this stuff that are not related to your eternal life. And this is what we call as something which is garbage. So, the heart can become the throne of the All-Beneficent. قلب المؤمن عرش الرحمن. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.ir. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Your Jannah, ya Allah, ya Allah. Don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life, ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
there, good day everyone. You're listening to IRIB English Radio and the program Foresight. On the 21st day of the holy month of Ramadan, we express our condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of the Prince of the Faithful, the first Shia Imam, Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Thinking about the beginning of Ramadan, thinking about the beginning of the Quran, and thinking about the beginning of the leadership. Everything has a beginning, and Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the Prince of the Faithful, is the beginning of true leadership in Islam after Prophet Muhammad. Today in Ramadan coincides with the martyrdom of a great man and indeed a remarkable point in history of Islam and humanity, Imam Ali.
Ali Imam Manasto Manamuna Ali Ali Imam Manasto Manamuna Ali.
Let's listen to Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi talking about various levels of fasting according to Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
What is the level of fasting that we attained last year? Where are we? Basically, our ulama of akhlaq and ulama of irfan use three terminologies, which is actually based on the saying of Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, where we talk about, you know, in that hadith, Amir al-Mu'minin explains to us the levels of fasting. Very simple. But that simple statement of Ali has become a point of elaboration by the ulama. Sawmul qalb khayrun min siyamil lisan. Number one, Ali says, the fasting of the heart is better than the fasting of the tongue. We're talking about levels here. And then he says, وَصِيَامُ اللِّسَانُ خَيْرٌ مِّن صِيَامِ الْبَطْنِ. And the fasting of the tongue is better than the fasting of the belly or the stomach. And from this statement of Amir al-Mu'mineen, ulama have derived three levels here. One is known as, you know, the level which is al-aam. And the second is al-khas. And the third is khasul khawas. The way I have, you know, used the words here is the basic level is the very first level there. And what does it mean? The basic level is the where Amir al-Mu'minin talks about siyamul batn, fasting of the belly. To do with the, you know, nine things which are haram out of the ten, which has to do with food and drink and related, you know, other desires of the body. And that is this very basic level. Every Muslim goes through that. We have to evaluate ourselves and see where we are. Are we at this level? That is the basic level of fasting, and that is the basic result of it. Nothing more. Then we go on to the second level, Sawmul Khas, which I would term not as a basic level of fasting, but the moral level of fasting. And this is where Amir al-Mu'minin uses the term Siyamul Lisan, the fasting of the tongue. And this is, you know, talking about misuse of our faculties, the eyes and the tongue and the ears and the hand and the feet, using it in ways which are haram during the time of fasting. And then we come to the third level, which our ulama have, you know, termed as Somo Khasil Khawas. Even among the special people, it is a a kind of a privileged group which reaches there. And this I would term as spiritual level. So you have a basic level, moral level, which is more linked with how we interact with others. And then we have the highest level, which is the spiritual level, which has nothing to do with others. It has to do between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is something where Amir al-Mu'minin says, Sawmul Qalb, the fasting of the heart. Not the physical heart, we are talking about the spiritual heart, the soul or the mind. And that level is attained when we focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the time of fasting.
Tears stream and voices loud. Don't go, Ali, please come. Don't go, Ali, please come. I raise my hand and pray. I want with you to stay.
I warmly welcome you to the holy city of Najaf, the land of a king, the land. Wow. The land of one of the greatest men to have ever lived upon this earth. The land of our master. The man of greatness, the man of wisdom, the man of courage, the man who was elected to be the wasi of Rasulullah. Bismillah. The man who went through tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. The man who is the only one who carried out the funeral of Rasulullah. The man who every single person in his family was killed and poisoned. The man the man who I'm not sure whether to speak about his sorrow or if I speak about his greatness. The man who is an inspiration to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The man who is an inspiration to every single Shia across the world. The man who, when you just stand in his city, he makes you quiver. Majesty, greatness, an outstanding, perfect individual. A man who I just cannot even describe. A man who the Prophet said was one of the greatest men to have ever lived, which is why in Ghadir he said, Man kuntu mawla fahadha aliyun mawla. When you see a man can raise children like Abbas, like Hassan, like Hussein, like Zainab, you know he must be something special. A man who is the husband to the daughter of the Prophet, Fatima al-Zahra, Mawlati Fatima al-Zahra, Salamullahi alayha. A man who did two of the greatest deeds, was doing the greatest deed doing it. And when I say that, what do I mean? I mean he's a man who gave charity whilst he was in Ruku, and a man who became a shaheed whilst he was in his Salah, doing two of the greatest deeds whilst doing the greatest deed, which was Salah.
The Shia cry, the Amir die. The Shia cry, the Amir die.
Everywhere
silence, the wind starts blowing, the clouds start moving, the earth starts spinning. The motionless galaxy was fleeting, the pulse of the universe stops beating. The quaking ducks, mankind awestruck, a silent tale as Ali fell.
The Shia cry, the Emir died, the Shia cry.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio and the program Foresight. Once again, condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the 21st day of the holy month of Ramadan. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is the most distinguished personality of Islam after Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Well, his entire life is devoted to righteousness and justice. Imam Ali was a great companion to the Prophet of Islam and dedicated himself to the advancement of Islam. He was a great judge, a great philanthropist, and of course the most pious person of his time. So much has been written and continues to be written, of course, about the personality, the life and character of Imam Ali alayhi salam, as well as his attributes. However, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is not confined to the Muslim world. He is not just for Muslims, and he's not just for Shia. Almost everyone, the Shia, Sunnis, and Christians, of course, people from different religions in the world, they know the universal character of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. Therefore, Imam Ali is a universal example of virtue, piety, purity, faithfulness, justice, respect for others, help for the deprived and oppressed, and courage and bravery. Professor Ali Haider, a former Christian and a Muslim convert, talks about the virtues of Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
When I first visited Egypt in 1977, I was unprepared to be confronted by another figure. In the mosque dating from the Fatimid period, I found a statement written on the wall ending with the words, Aliyan Waliyullah. At the time, I little knew how this personality would follow me, not only in my coming travels in the Middle East and surrounding areas, but in my personal life as well. Sometime later, I was sitting in a tea garden in southeastern Turkey, listening as young Alevi students discussed Marxist theory. They laughed me to scorn when I said that Ali, peace be upon him, was an anarchist. It may have been naive, but I think not altogether wrong, for the personality of Ali, peace be upon him, undercuts both the hypocritical legal scholasticism that supports institutional exploitation of both human populations and the natural environment, as well as the strange fascination that masses show toward charismatic leaders of the day, be they political dictators or popular cult idols. The personality of Ali ibn Abu Talib, peace be upon him, is most evident in that supplication once given to Kumail, who had requested that a prayer be given him that should give his heart tranquility. The holy Imam imbued this supplication with the very tranquility of his own heart. As we participate in that supplication, we participate in the personality that has given the principles of virtue by which justice and prosperity may be attained. Jesus, peace be upon him, was born a refugee under the date palm. Muhammad, peace be upon him, was born to be an orphan. But Ali, peace be upon him, was born in the Kaaba. As I stood for the first time looking at the Kaaba, I suddenly recognized the place as being most familiar. That stone structure, the simple chamber, is that inner chamber of every human heart to which we flee from day to day in times of trouble, in times of joy. We seek that secret chamber, and that secret chamber is the chamber in which the personality of Ali, peace be upon him, is born. When the virtues of that personality are born in the human heart, the heart of every person, no matter what his religious background, these virtues of the personality of Ali, we will find that we need no new laws. They already exist in the foundations of Judaism, Christianity, Islam, and many another world religious tradition. We do not need new idols, new gods. We need the personal integrity that the personality of Ali, peace be upon him, extends to each of us, born in the Kaaba as he was, to be born in the human heart, a living model of a new and better human being and a new and better society. The world needs a return to the Kaaba.
Once again, condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Ali, peace be upon him. We were with you in the program Foresight from IRIB English Radio. God bless you all and goodbye.
This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
Thank you.
this is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Iran's consulate building in Syria's capital Damascus comes under attack. Several people have been confirmed dead. Iran and Hamas call for an international investigation of crimes committed in Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital. And the Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has staged a fresh attack.